Would you join me again in a word of prayer? Gracious and loving Father in heaven, we rejoice to have this privilege and opportunity of worshiping Thee. We're thankful that we enjoy the freedoms that we can come without fear. We're thankful that You've stirred up our hearts and given us a desire for Your house. Bless our time together, Father, that we might honor and glorify Thee. Bless each one assembled here, Father, but remember those that are not able to attend Your house. Just provide the things that they stand in need of, and when it is pleasing unto Thee, would You restore them back to this house of worship. And we pray not for ourselves alone, but for Thy people wherever they're gathered together today. We just ask, Father, that there be a reviving all over this land, all over the world, that Your people might truly honor, serve, and glorify Thee. I pray, Father, that You bless me to preach the Word, bless each one of us to hear, to understand, and help us to be doers of Your work. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite your attention this morning to the book of Ephesians in the third chapter. I want to read verses 14 through 21, but I'll try to focus our attention mainly on the 19th verse of this passage. You'll recognize this as being one of the prayers of the Apostle Paul, and we have several recorded in his epistles. It seems that as Paul was writing and addressing these various churches, the spirit of prayer would come to him, and he would constantly be in prayer for these congregations, and he would express his thoughts as he is writing these letters. Now, I know that this is one of the passages we've looked at many times, but I pray that the Lord would perhaps give us a new perspective on some of these things. I don't intend and don't have any idea that I bring anything new, but sometimes we can look at some of these familiar things and get a new perspective on them. So read with me Ephesians chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. Paul said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Now, as Paul has expressed this prayer, and as I said, I believe that it's something that he constantly prayed for this church. I want you to understand that Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I believe Paul certainly had this desire within himself for this congregation. But he is being directed by the Holy Spirit of God. So the things that Paul is praying for here, I believe, is God's will for his people, not only in that age, but in every age. I believe that God desires these things for us today. And I want you to notice also that there's a progression in this prayer, that Paul is kind of going up steps that lead us to understand God and understand the love of God, but ultimately that it would be to the glory of Jesus Christ and to God the Father. And I emphasize constantly that that is what we're to be about, is glorifying God. You may get tired of hearing me say this, but God blesses us. He gives us joy. He provides for our needs. But that's not the ultimate end. He does that so that we'll take that blessing and we'll take our joy and spread to others, that we all might praise God together. Now notice that Paul begins by praying that God would grant you, verse 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Paul is praying for all the glorious perfections of God work together, that we would be strengthened in the inner man. If you're familiar with Paul's writings, you'll note that he talks about two parts of man, or the born-again man. We have that in Romans. He talks about the carnal nature, the carnal man, as opposed to the spiritual man. He talks about the old man and the new man. Here, the inner man and the outward man. You see, there is that we are born by nature, physical human beings. We bear the image of our father Adam, and that image is sinful. You know, this old flesh simply wants to satisfy itself. But, you know, opposition to that, and Paul talks about there being a warfare between that inner man, that spiritual man, and that carnal nature. So here he's praying that the Holy Spirit of God would strengthen that spiritual part of us so that it would rule the complete being. And I want to emphasize the fact that Jesus Christ has redeemed His children, redeemed us, body, soul, spirit, the complete being. And finally, even these bodies are going to be changed and conformed to His image and delivered up to glory. But while we live in this body, in that warfare, Paul desires that we have that strength of the Holy Spirit so that the inner man rules us. And when that inner man rules us, then the love of Christ dwells in our hearts. Jesus is living in us through the Holy Spirit, and He strengthens and guides us. And then we begin to know that great love of God. And He prays that we would know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Now, the knowing that Paul is talking about here goes beyond simply a mental grasp of things. Anybody in the world with normal intelligence can read the words that says, God loves you and Christ loves you. Some will simply ignore the fact. Some may assent to it and say, well, yeah, I guess that's true. But what Paul is talking about here is a deep spiritual knowledge that causes us to act on the knowledge. That is grasping by faith and having that spiritual experience of the love of God. Now, I believe that we that know something of the love of God experience that love. You know, as we drove up here this morning, I noticed what a beautiful day it was, and I was looking at the scenery, and everything seemed to be just absolutely beautiful. And I believe that's an expression of God's love for His children. Now, many people just assent to the fact that it's beautiful, and that's as far as it goes. But we know something of the love of God, and He's expressing love to us. Now, when we know that love and what Paul is praying here, that we have that grasp by faith, that will be realized in responsive love. You know, John wrote that we love God because He first loved us. And we begin to comprehend God's love, then we love Him in response. We exhibit and manifest our love for God. Now, Paul here specifically talks about the love of Christ. And I believe he's talking about the love that Christ has for us. That love that motivated Him to take our sins upon Himself and go to the cross and die that we might be redeemed from our sins. That's love that man cannot begin to comprehend. But that love of Christ is no different from the love of our Heavenly Father. You know, there are those who have the idea that, and It's correct by some means that God is angry at sinners and God is just ready to condemn and cast into hell, and that Jesus came and somehow changed the Father so that now He loves us. Well, I'm going to tell you, God has always loved His children. Before He ever created anything, He loved us. He knew us. He loved us. And He gave Christ, His only begotten Son, to redeem us from our sins. The Father has always loved us. But our sins needed to be dealt with. And He gave His Son to save us from our sins. If you look with me in the book of Romans in the 8th chapter, I want to read beginning at verse 35. Again, Romans chapter 8, and beginning at verse 35 and to the end of the chapter. Paul asked the question, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the love of the Heavenly Father is expressed in that love of Jesus Christ. And He says, who can separate us from that? The answer is, if there's somebody that's able to overcome God, if there's somebody, some force, some being somewhere that has more power than God, then that might be able to separate us from the love of God. But Paul begins to name these things. He said, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. It seems like he's already covered just about everything, but he goes on, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. There is nothing in all creation yet can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I want to emphasize the fact also that it's a very personal love. Paul, in some instances, talks in a general way about the love of Christ, the love that he has for all his people. Now look with me in the book of Galatians in the 2nd chapter, in verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." Now, every redeemed child of God can make that same statement with Paul. Yes, God loves all His children. He loves all those chosen in Christ. He loves all those that Christ died for. But if we begin to grasp, to comprehend, to know the love of Christ, we know that it is a very personal thing. He loved me, and He gave Himself for me. I've heard it said that if there was only one sinner, if I was the only sinner, Christ would have died for me, personally, individually. But there's a lot just like me. And He died for everyone, personally and individually. And Paul is praying that we grasp that fact, that we would know the love of Christ. But notice again in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, he seems to be talking in contradictory terms. He's praying that the people would know something that passes knowledge. How can you know something that is beyond knowing? Well, Paul, I don't think there's any contradictions or anything else in this passage of Scripture. I think what Paul is saying, it is a love that cannot be fully and completely comprehended. We know something of the love of God, don't we? We know something of the love of Jesus Christ. Have you not felt it in your heart? Do you not know it? You think you know all of it? You think you know the extent of it? Do you think you know the height and depth and breadth and length of it? I've heard people say, well, when we get to heaven, we'll know it. I don't think in eternity we'll ever see the completion of it. It's just too vast, too deep, too wide. We'll never know it all. There's another possibility that Paul is expressing here. It passes human knowledge. It passes the knowledge of all the scribes and Pharisees and all their deep studies. It surpasses all the wisdom of the Greek who prided themselves on all their knowledge. It goes beyond anything of the carnal man, of the human mind. It is only revealed by the Spirit of God. And that's why Paul is praying here, that the Spirit of God would reveal all that God has for us to know in this life, and then all that He'll have us to know in heaven. And now, notice, again in verse 19, he says that he prays that they might know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You see, there's another step that we're taking, that we might be strengthened by the inner man, that we might know that love in order that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, that word fullness is one that Paul really liked. He talked about Jesus Christ, in Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He uses that term a number of times. He just wants us to have the complete blessings of God, that we might be filled with all that fullness of God. In the book of Philippians, in the first chapter, Philippians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 9, another one of Paul's prayers. And he said, "This I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye might be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and the praise of God." That ye be filled with all the grace, all the goodness of God, all the blessings that are brought to us by the Holy Spirit. And again, he's praying that it might be to the glory of God. Again, that's what we're here for. That's what we're created for. That we might, in this life, honor and glorify our blessed Redeemer. Now, one more passage that I want to look at in closing. Again, in the book of Ephesians, in the fourth chapter. And I read the first 15 verses. And I know there's a lot here that, for the sake of time, I won't try to get into. But in Ephesians chapter 4 and beginning at the first verse, Paul said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called." We're called to be saints. We're called to be soldiers in the army of God. We're called to be witnesses of the grace of God. There's so much calling through the gospel, called by the Holy Spirit. And Paul's prayer and his exhortation to the Ephesians and to us, that we walk worthy. That you remember who you are, God's children, and you walk in such a manner that is befitting that glorious calling. And he goes on to tell us how we do that: with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There, we've been given that gift, and Paul said that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. And I believe that prayer is that we might grasp and see and understand our position in Christ and all the blessings that He has given us. Wherefore He saith, when He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that He ascended, what is it but that He also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same that also ascended far above all heavens, that He might fill all things, that we might know the fullness of God. And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, that we might be filled with all that fullness, that we might grow up to be mature disciples and followers of Jesus Christ, that with our life and with our testimonies we might glorify our Heavenly Father, who loved us and gave His Son to redeem us. I pray, as Paul prayed, that we'd be filled with all that fullness of God, that we might bring forth all the fruits of righteousness, that we might grow up into our great head, Jesus Christ, that it would be to the honor and glory of our Father. May God grant for Christ's sake is my prayer. We will at this time announce an invitation for church membership. The church is ready to receive members as the gospel authorizes, as we stand and sing.